Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. With everything going on in the world today, democracy can feel fragile. So, when Cramie Council recently discussed the voting process for the 2026 municipal election next fall, some residents became concerned. While the public is calling for in-person voting at polling stations on election day, the township will be using internet and telephone voting. This is similar to the method used in the last election in 2022. In this interview, Cramie Township Mayor Mandy Martin will explain Council's recent decision, provide some background on the reasons, and address concerns some residents express about the lack of in-person voting. Listen and see what you think about the decision and its impact on local democracy. I am absolutely delighted to have with me today Cramie Township Mayor Mandy Martin. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Delighted to be here, Rob.
Why does Cramie Township need to change its voting methods for the 2026 election?
We're not changing them. We're using what we had the last time.
But I thought that there was a change in the sense that you're going to be going with internet only and phone and no in-person. So that's what seems to be circulating out in the public realm. Can you explain then what the misunderstanding is?
I think what happened is some people, of course, are lobbying for the age-old, traditional, as in, 12 years ago or more, paper ballot. But what happened last time was we had telephone and internet voting, and we had help centers. They were like a kiosk where people could come in and be assisted through registering via telephone or internet. That is going to continue, by the way, this time too.
So obviously people are concerned within the community that there is not in-person voting. And whether that was last time or two times before or whenever, as you say, why have you moved away from the in-person voting when so many people, at least in some circles, seem to feel that this is the best method?
So many people may feel that's the best method, but that is not the best method proof in terms of how other municipalities are holding their elections. When you're saying the old ways, are you talking paper ballots only in polling stations? Because that's what I think these people are thinking should be returned.
That has
gone by the wayside long ago.
But it seems like such a fundamental way. And so many times we do participate in polling booths and paper ballots or scanned ballots. But it's that act of going to a polling station, marking a ballot, and then having it counted seems to be people seem to want to bring that back. Why eliminate that method at all if it's such a preferred method, at least amongst some people? What's the argument?
There are several, and it's not just financial. For example, the cost for internet phone balloting comes to about $2 per elector, but then add $1.75 per mailing before that takes place with instructions and so on, right? Mm-hmm. So then you go to mail only, and it's about $5 per elector, the cost. So, and if you do in-person, that is to say individual polling stations, we're now up to $7 per elector. So those are the figures. So what we're talking about is the difference between approximately, $12,000, which is the system we have now, or 41,000. for an election in Crammy, because that is based on our tiny population. And I say tiny as compared to so many other municipalities in Northumberland. I mean, our elector base is fundamentally, you know, 5,800. Our population is 6,200, but the elector base is about 5,800. There's a cost difference. Now, the other thing that happens is that it also costs a lot of money to set up the polling booths, right? It takes six people to run a polling booth. And that's six staff members, their time, $300 per person for the training required, to say nothing of then all the paper costs. Now, what we have found is even the paper costs now, fundamentally, the suppliers are American. They're American paper printers and so on for the ballots, for the ballots. So there's that. And I think, carry on.
Oh, go ahead.
So in our, for example, in our community, last time of the voting turnout, which was relatively low, and I can deal with that in a minute, but what was the percentage? 82% voted via internet, 82%. And there were 18% voted by phone. So that indicates to me that there really is a need, or it's meeting the demand. The other thing that happens is we can set the times municipally. We can set the times that voting can carry on, the days, for example. We can extend it, like it can be 10 days, it can be 5 days, it can be 3 days. Whereas if you have a polling station where you have to show up in person or have a proxy, a physical presence is needed. And where I am, I have a certain amount of people who, for example, around Little Lake, they're not full-time residents here, but they own property and they pay taxes. And so they can vote. They don't have to come in person. So there's that. And I think some of the people, one or two, have said, well, it's a social time. Election day is a social time to get together. Well, I'm sorry. If you want to get together, we can have a tea or something. But what we want to do here is vote and get as many people out to vote as we can, which means appealing to as many voters as we can get to participate in the democratic process.
You said a lot of important things, and I wanted to give you a chance to get all the ideas out, because I'd like to go now back and let's unpack some of this, because I think it's really important that people understand. Sure. Some people might say it's good to have additional methods like telephone and internet and that kind of thing, but having paper ballots, polling stations, adds another method. And you just indicated, if I heard you correctly, saying that overall, there was a low turnout, even though a lot of those who did turn out was on the internet, but a low turnout. Shouldn't, just for the sake of democracy, shouldn't every method available be available? And while cost is an issue, certainly, isn't it worth it?
Well, you could argue that argument for any number of issues and policy across the, you know, across the board. At what percentage do you then pay the cost? Like, should 1% of your population determine that you should spend, you know, 101% more on your voting for the sake of 1%? If they will not take responsibility to participate. And to me, it's opened up the participation. And as I said, we have what we call help centers, say in Castleton or Dundonald or Colborne here, and people can come in and staff are there to help them explain it or whatever.
And I appreciate that. And that sounds like a very good method to do it when people need help. But then there's also the notion of a secret ballot. And, you know, some people, like you say, they help. Sometimes family, friends help seniors and others who struggle with the technology vote. But then is that not bring into question, you know, is it the person that's supposed to be voting, or is it the helper that's influencing or interfering, even in a worst case scenario, with the voting process? How do you guard against that in this kind of a system?
Well, if you're talking about the help center system, the person is over behind a screen or whatever off site. And so they're going through the process. They're not being told who to vote for. It's how to connect and how to vote in terms of the actual technical steps that you take.
But you can certainly see a scenario where somebody who's not technically savvy could turn around and say, you know, I'm getting my teenage kid, or I'm getting my son or daughter to come over and help me. And that sounds very legit. But then maybe there's an influencing thing that's, you know, don't vote for them, vote for, and that kind of thing going on. Whereas, you know, when it's a polling booth and you're sitting down and, you know, we all know the system, you go and you're in that little cardboard thing and you mark your X and you come in and put it in and it gets scanned or whatever, that seems to have more integrity to it. So how do you answer to that kind of a concern? Because I know that's some of the things that people think about.
Well, think about integrity, just period. If you haven't got the integrity to vote honestly, then what are we all about? Because I'm going to throw one at you this way. Your vote matters, and if you don't protect it, and you have a responsibility as a voter to ensure that your vote is your vote and a secret ballot or whatever. I can't babysit everybody. I can't nurse everyone. I can't prove that, you know, the $100 bill you present to the cashier over at the drugstore is legit. I'm counting on you to be honest.
Part of the method in using internet and telephone voting is a 10 to 14 day voting period. What's the advantage of having an extended voting period as compared to, say, a single day where everybody just knows this is my day, I got to go out, I got to get this done?
Well, obviously, I mean, you're reaching, and I don't think, like, the 10-day period, the municipality can determine what the voting days will be, you know, the length of time, anyway, for the voting period. And I would suspect, for example, that we may reduce that. And it doesn't matter, because people aren't, their votes aren't being tabulated on the day that they cast them. They're only being tabulated on the election night, computer-wise, right? So that's neither here nor there. So it can be reduced. The beauty of it is that, for example, people are working shift work or have kids or they can't get away, or they're out-of-town property owners, they're business owners, they got clunked on a car accident or something the day of. It broadens the avenues and it broadens the opportunity to cast your ballot.
We talked about cost earlier. I'm just curious, where did those figures come from when you mentioned the $2 and the $4 and the $7?
We have a study that was done. And I can forward it to you. It's a study that compares the costs. Yeah, I'm not just making these up.
I appreciated
also,
that.
Also, we had a presentation at the Committee of the Whole meeting of council on the 9th, and some of these figures were included in that report in open Committee of the Whole council. Yeah.
Now, in the report that was given to council, it indicated that iPads and laptops can be purchased using election money to give staff and council members afterwards. Is there a shortage of computers for staff and councilors, that this is something that's going to be good, and that just something where you spend money on this and then it never sees any further use?
No, we're not there. I mean, last time I think we had, because we had a few more staff and a few more members, it was on a as needed basis, one or two. In other words, we weren't getting all new computers for everybody, you know, whatever. No, because we have built in security and so on. So no, it wasn't. It wasn't, you know, a single source, or what do you call it? A single purpose laptop or whatever.
Now, one of the arguments for internet and telephone voting is that you don't need additional staff, and you talked about that in your earlier remarks. Mm-hmm. But will there be a need for existing staff to be paid overtime, depending on the circumstances? I mean, is that an additional cost we haven't talked about yet?
Well, we factor that in. For example, if you're setting up a help center in Castleton, well, staff will go there, you know, from whatever the hours are they determine, 8 to 8 or whatever for this day or that day or whatever, for people to drop in and talk about how they want to do this. And they can register their vote then via internet or telephone, or go home and do it later or whatever. But if that staff then will get time off in lieu. We try to do it that way. We're not accruing extra costs. The other thing that's happening is, for example, in a polling station, each polling station takes 6 people. So the costs of that are astronomical. Now, one of the other little glitches or arguments that people like to say is, well, you know, the system, what about the internet system? Well, and why don't they do it provincially and federally? Well, what's happening is that on a federal election day or a provincial election day, if everybody was only voting electronically, because of the millions of people involved, the system could well crash, right? In terms of overload or whatever, whatever. Hello, we're Crammy Township. We're 5,800 voters. Our system can handle it.
Well, speaking of that, then, where is the IT support coming from for this?
We pay Northumberland County. We have a contract with them to oversee our IT security and so on, as does Hamilton Township, as does all McAldermans, Port Hope Police, and I think they're jeepers. I just knew this morning. There are four municipalities that have county IT, and then 2 agencies.
Is there any additional cost for this IT support for the election as compared to, say, the regular IT support that you would receive from the county?
As yet, no. Because we build the security into the system, period. And we also, part of the cost that I was citing, you know, the per elector cost, that is the computer programming that we purchase to run, to administer, right? That's all part and part of that package. So not only is there the system that runs the vote and then tabulates, you know, ba-dam, at 8:01 on election night, they have their own security, et cetera, but that's part of the cost that we pay as a contract to them. And then within our own system, we have the county IT for it.
Was there any public engagement around this report that you received from staff and its recommendations? Did you do a survey? Did you go out and get public feedback before you made a final decision to go forward with this system this year?
No, we didn't. Well, no, we didn't do a public survey.
Why not?
Well, it's posted on the agenda for debate and discussion. And we did have several people came and said they wanted paper balloting and ballots, polls. And so it was outlined to them, this is why the system is the way it is. By the way, these are the same people that complain about other expenditures and why are we, you know, spending money on a library. So, the logistics of it. And there was one person who said she didn't want her birth date. She didn't want people knowing her birth date. She wasn't giving her birth. And that's fine. You don't need to give your birth date. That was one of the concerns she had, if she had to identify somehow prove who she was. Well, there are other options, you know. But I find that people are very quick to Well, they're very defensive these days anyway about so many things, and there are all kinds of conspiracy theories and I don't know what all. But if you think about it, you know, your life these days is so taken up with internet connection and filing your taxes, for example, or you can't even get to EI without going online, et cetera. It has changed, you know. By the way, and many of these people, too, I mean, they do their banking online. They want to do all these other things. And truly, it's a matter of, I don't know why they're so uncomfortable about this, except that I think, and this is truly admirable, they want their vote to count. They want assurances that their vote does count. And I think it does, and it matters very much. I am, if I may say so, I am discouraged by the province's strong mayors. I think people should be more concerned about strong mayor authority than how their voting system is going, because that is where your democracy is being eroded.
You know, some people in the public realm have indicated that they feel this has been a rush decision, that, you know, it's only a year away. And why can't it wait till the next election before we make any further changes or revisit this? What do you say to those people?
Well, we've already done it once. So what's the change?
We look around the world and we see democratic values under threat. And there's no need to list all of the incidents. Mm-hmm. Is it not worth it then to spend that money, maintain the trust and credibility of local elections in a world that seems so unsettled? And even if it's not a good business case, maybe it's a good case for democracy.
But you're not. If you're having a one-day vote by paper, you're actually cutting off more voters than you are having participate. You're actually narrowing the field. What I'm actually hearing that is, I can vote because it's my backyard, but you can't because you don't live here or whatever. So no, I think it's expansive. I think it's inclusive. I think it's far more inclusive.
Mandy Martin, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Rob. My pleasure.
That was Cramie Township Mayor Mandy Martin. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.